This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let's get some calls in here. 215-592-9494. Ross with us for an hour. We'll get to the Joel situation in a moment. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, John. Hey, Ruben. Hey, Ross.
What's up, Ed?
I'm personally not disappointed by their relative inertia. Well, relative, can't get any more inertia than no moves.
But
I'm encouraged by the development of their defense outside of Bryce Huff, but I was just looking at the stats this morning. They're fourth in rushing yards allowed, they're sixth in passing yards allowed, and they've allowed the eighth fewest points in the entire NFL. So
have faced dog meat quarterbacks for the most part.
Facing dog meat quarterbacks, dog meat teams, like, I get all that, but I don't know what Ruben, or I mean, sorry, I confused Ruben with Howie. I don't know if there's something wrong with that.
And they're
that's
friends.
Okay.
You guys,
that's all right.
You guys are both. Well, of course it's all right. You know why, Ruben? Because he's still making, you know, millions of dollars as a GM,
yeah,
and you're
because
not.
Because he's good at what he does. And I like that.
That was mean, Joe. Wow.
I like it because he's good at what he does.
I love that we can't get through a Ruben show without at least one dig. Like, unprovoked dig at Ruben.
Ed, let me take a second dig. I was struck 5 minutes ago when it was an analytics conversation, and we had Mr. Amar sitting in front of us here. Just saying, Ruben. You're a little late to the show.
It's okay. I'll pass because I can't bang the drum that hard anymore.
Ed, let me tell you something. I mean this very sincerely. There's a lot of reasons we love Ruben. I mean, his ability to take the joke is really good, man. Anyway. All right, Ed, I'm sorry. We're getting you off track. Go ahead.
No, so I don't know what Howie's calculus was in not making a move, but I would have to guess that it has something to do with, you know, we have X amount of draft picks. We have have A.J. Brown's contract. We have Landon Dickerson's contract, Jalen Hurts' contract. Like, they're going to have cheap talent elsewhere. So I'm thinking he just was probably, given where they are now as defense, probably holding on to those, but I could be wrong. I mean, their pass rush, I would have liked to see a little bit more juice. I mean, they're in the middle of the pack as far as sacks. So I don't see how, like, going for a Za'Darius Smith would have cost too much in assets. I mean, like a middle round pick, I don't think that would have broke the bank. But, you know, given where we are now, I'm somewhat optimistic. So I don't feel too bad about them not doing anything.
Ed, give me a great scene from a comedy.
How about the cafeteria food fight scene in Animal House?
You got it, Ed. Boy, Animal House will have plenty of answers.
That's a good one.
No question. All right, Joel can be in a food fight for the next three games because he can't play. Here's the statement by the NBA yesterday.
Do you think
maybe
he is
no physical,
more fighting.
Is he physically capable of food fighting right now? Is he fully physically capable, Joe?
Well,
or
he better
are
be.
We getting away with one here where he's not physically capable to food fight, yet he's waiting these three food fights out?
I will tell you this. If he does not play four games from now, the NBA should, let me see how I can put it, take the team away from Josh Harris.
Well, it is unconscionable.
Like, he has no choice.
Would you be shocked, though, Joe?
No, I would not.
I actually would be shocked.
No, I wouldn't.
At this point,
not
that
shocked.
Would be shocking. At this point, yes, this would be so deviant. This. To pretend.
Add it to the list, Joe.
Well, that's right.
I know, but this right. is just, you know, like the final straw or whatever yeah. you'd call it, like rock bottom.
Look,
or however far
they
from where
they love Josh
he's
Harris in D.C. right now. They love Josh Harris in D.C. right now.
So here's the thing I'll say about my instincts on this suspension related to his injury. I tend to think he's truly ready to come back. Because, one, they would get in such enormous trouble if four games from now he doesn't play. And two, Joel did say on Friday, I forget the exact phrase, but basically that he was very close. So he probably was. Because he said it, and he said it in a way that had conviction. I tend to believe him that day. So here we are now 5 days later. You know, but I'll tell you, if he doesn't play, they got a massive problem. Here's the statement Joe Dumars, who's the... Would you say Joe Dumars is the John Runyon of the NBA?
Pretty
much, the infractions guy?
Yeah,
the, you know,
that's what I think.
You've done dirty guy? All right, here's what Dumars said upon issuing the three-game suspension. He said, mutual respect is paramount to the relationship between players and media in the NBA. While we understand Joel was offended by the personal nature of the original version of the reporter's column, interactions must remain professional on both sides and can never turn physical. And obviously, because it turned physical, that's why the NBA banged him with a three-game suspension. So you can weigh in on it. Sixers later tonight, they're 1-5. They still got some games out west. I mean, they could. I'll tell you what they could lose in the first month of the season. Any chance at home court advantage. Any. Yeah.
They're like next to last in the conference.
I mean, here's the thing.
Flag for flag.
Right, Blake Baltimore, James, yeah. Like, James, Boston's going to lose how many games this year? 20?
Maybe, yeah.
The Sixers might be up to 8 by, like, this weekend.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah. That is really disheartening. When you think about that stuff. Hey, you know what, though, Joe?
That's unbelievable.
Let's counterbalance that. It is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. It hurts to think about the fact that the season is just now starting, and it's almost hopeless when you look
at
it.
It's not hopeless. Hopeless isn't the right word.
Let's talk about the positivity of John Middleton and this article. Seriously, this article does matter in the respect that the two major takeaways.
Go for it.
More forceful in addressing weaknesses in players. He talked about we've been having conversations in a more forceful way. Instead of making suggestions, we're going to get after it more with these players. Yep, no longer suggestions.
Yeah.
It needs to be better, guys. Like, your approach, that's not going to work. Like, you play that way, you're not going to play,
yeah.
I hope. I hope that's what this
means.
Well,
yeah, the implication is he's coming down hard on them to make adjustments with their approach in the box.
Which is wonderful,
yeah.
Which is exactly what we need. It's music to my ears. And then the fact that we've got the outside investors coming in, the fact that John Middleton basically says, we're not going back to paying less. You know, we are not going back to being anywhere but the top of the pay, whatever you call
it. Yeah, they're
going
to be up there. Yep.
Yeah. I love that this is competitive. We will always be competitive. He will always be competitive. He sought out outside sources to remain more competitive than what we possibly could have been previously. So that's a great sign.
No,
we're going to spend and we're going to be aggressive with these players that we spend big to bring in. It sounds like a recipe for improvement.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a recipe for sustained activity over the next many years to keep at it and at it and at it and at it. And that is great. And John, I love your first point in particular because it's Middleton's point. By the way, and it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. As we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. So what John's referencing is a tremendous article from The Athletic. And kudos to Matt Gelb for tracking down John Middleton for a very thorough conversation. Amongst other things, one of the more notable things that Middleton said here is he at one point, and this is the quote, he said, it's not enough to just, he's referencing that Philly's losing in the postseason. He said, it's not enough to say, well, that's baseball. That's just an excuse for not having to really think about what went right, what went wrong, and what you can do to right the wrongs.
How do you respond to that, mister? It's just baseball.
Thank you.
That was like your go-to thing at the end of the season was, well, baseball.
Well, first off, I'll answer that question two ways, James. Okay? How does Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson answer that? Because they both presented the it's just baseball
thing. Yeah, I think they had a bad press conference.
It's so funny. He goes, right? I was talking to Dave about it, and Dave, he said, I hate this expression. And he goes, I hate it more than anything. I'm like, dude, you've used it.
I know. Yeah. So listen, maybe Dave Dombrowski's public comments were a cover for how he really feels. Maybe.
Now, I'm telling you this. I think Middleton watched that news conference and felt the same way we did.
There was not enough pain, but
doesn't the article say that he met with Dombrowski before that news conference?
Yeah.
So that's why did Dombrowski then go out there?
Well, I don't know that it was before the news conference. Either way, we know that what people say in press conferences doesn't necessarily mean what they're off the.
And also, there is not a ton of advantage for Dave Dombrowski to rip his own players there if he's going to try and trade him and all that type of stuff. So,
You agree with that, Ruben?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, listen, I've been in a few press conferences where you just don't reveal all the information and how you actually feel sometimes because you're trying to protect some folks.
Sure.
That's part of being the leader of the team. That said, there is a level of, you have to be a little open and you have to be, with obvious situations, you have to be able to be more transparent. And that's something that we're not seeing with the Sixers.
No.
But we will see with John Middleton because that's who he is.
Yeah. All right. So, James, I do want to answer your question because I don't want to, while as a politician, I'd be pretty good at little left, little right, little, diversion, tactics, play action, pass, where's the football?
Well, let me ask you a question, right?
Yeah. All right, so here's the way I'd answer that. I like that John Middleton is drilling down on let's get better, but I also think, well, that's baseball is true. I just do. I mean, Mike Schmidt, the reality is, there were some series in the 70s where he didn't come up big.
Mike Schmidt's in the article. He says he changed his swing because of those things. I know he did.
But no, I understand that. That's fair. That's fair. That's very fair. But my point is 1980, he's not only the MVP of the National League, he's the MVP of the World Series. They won a championship. Let me present it this way. Would I want the Phillies today to acquire Aaron Judge? Yes. Yes. Did Aaron Judge just have a dreadful playoffs?
Sure.
Yeah, he was horrendous. He was horrible. So I do think small sample size is a factor in the playoffs, particularly, by the way, when you play four games. I do want them to work on their improvement. Ruben, let me give you a story. You'll remember this. So my point is I'm torn. I think Middleton has a point. Let's improve, and I'm going to be a hard ass. By the way, he's got to be a hard ass on Rob Thompson to be a hard ass on the players.
Thank you. Amen.
Okay? This should not go owner to players.
Yeah.
Owner, he can talk to players maybe once, twice, start of the season. Hey, guys, get your freaking act together. But he's got to be on Rob Thompson to be on them.
Rob Thompson is not afraid to get on the players. I will tell you that unequivocally. He does it in a very, very professional way.
But his message did not work enough then, Ruben. It didn't, because they did not change their approach.
Well, that's a really hard thing to do in the middle of the season.
I know.
And it's a difficult thing unless you are
committed.
But, Ruben,
here's the problem is they spent all of right before the season started in spring training saying they had spent all offseason working on their approach at the plate.
They brought a new assistant hitting coach. It was the whole, don't chase.
They were the ones who told us they were changing.
Attack balls in the zone.
Then that might tell you about their ability to do it or to not do it.
No, it may. But
that may tell you the ability for them, the players, to be able to make that adjustment.
No, I agree, but I'm going to give you two things from sports history that are facts. Jordan changed his game as time went on. He went less from flying through the air to passing
the
ball.
Because of the Jordan rules.
Well, also because his body, and he was getting older, and it became, hey, give me the ball 15 feet from the hoop. I'm gonna post up, do this fadeaway shot no one can block, and perfect it. And that's how he was just as good in 96, 97, 98 as 91, 92, 93, and it was another three-peat. And that was the best player ever.
The great ones can do it. Not everybody can do it.
Well,
now listen. Now, you got Mike Schmidt who did it. You got Ozzie Smith who did it. He was a horrendous offensive player. He made himself a decent offensive player. You had Omar Vizquel who could not. I mean, you could knock the bat out of his hand.
Right.
The man became a decent offensive player. Not many good players can do it. great players can do it. And you know, there aren't that many great players. That's why there's a very small level of Hall of Famers.
But okay, a couple things, Ruben. You're right, but these guys are being paid to be able to improve.
Trey Turner is supposed to be great.
Trey Turner is supposed to be great.
Yeah, that you paid him to be great. Yeah, not good.
I totally agree.
And I'll give you one more example from history. And this is one of my favorite in Philadelphia sports. And because it's a pitcher related to hitting, it rarely gets referenced. Roy Halladay, for those that don't know, who's, by the way, referenced in this article. But let me give you a whole different story. And Ruben, you'll remember this. Roy Halladay would pitch in the American League during the era when, obviously, there was a DH in the AL, but not the NL. Had, you know, I mean, he wasn't batting in the American League all those years. He comes to the Phillies in year one, and obviously a pitcher's primary job back then as a hitter was to bunt. You know, bunt. I mean, guys on base try to have a sacrifice bunt. Year one in Philadelphia, he had two sacrifice bunts. He recognized, okay, this ain't good enough. I got to bat every nine at bats. That's not good. He worked on it in the offseason. The next year, year two, he had 18 sacrifice bunts.
That's because he's Roy Halladay. Yeah. You don't have to sell me on him.
But that's because he worked on it.
Correct.
And I need Kyle, no, not Schwarber's wrong example. Schwarber a little bit, but it's Bohm, it's Trey, it's Castellanos. It's those guys got to work. Stott.
Well, I will tell you,
those guys got to work.
Kyle Schwarber made an adjustment, and I gotta give him some love because he made an amazing job of making more contact and staying in the middle of the plate. He had a 50-point swing, like a 50-point swing in his batting average. Guys, that doesn't happen, and unless you are committed to doing it, and he did it. Now, can others do it? I think they can improve. Absolutely. Can they? How much can they improve? That's the question.
All right, so look, there's a lot on the table. The Phillies thing, the 76ers with Joel's suspension, and obviously the Eagles. Are you bummed out, frustrated, annoyed that they didn't make a trade at the trade deadline or not? And how good really do you think they are, and how do you factor in the four wins against teams with a combined record of 10-26? 10-26 while evaluating what they are. All right, good morning to you, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. We got a packed house today. We got Devin and Ruben and Rhea and Seltzer and Ross Tucker with us as well. Your chance to weigh in on all the topics we're discussing, 215-592-9494. Ross, let's get to the trade deadline, and then we'll get right back to the phones, because obviously it came and went yesterday in pro football with the Eagles making no moves. And we have this Twitter poll question, Ross, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. You can check out Armin's selection of quality one owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The question, Ross, does it bother you that the Eagles did not make a trade yesterday before the NFL trade deadline? Yes or no? Where would you vote on that one, Ross?
No, doesn't bother me. Wasn't expecting them to, considering the guys that were supposedly available. I mean, a lot of teams are talking about receivers. The Eagles kind of already made that move with getting Dotson, who had an incredible play, his best play as an Eagle.
His only play as an Eagle.
No, he's had another okay. Couple catches.
Sorry, one of his two plays with the Eagles.
It's an amazing play.
it was pretty awesome.
It was.
At least it's so
are we expecting
that
to be a springboard now,
seat.
Ross?
It took me off my
is
seat.
Is Jahan Dotson going to be a big part of the...
Not unless somebody's hurt.
Yeah.
They're just not going to... And honestly, I mean, they're not going to throw the ball to him that much because they're going to throw it to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. I'm okay with that.
Let's hope, yeah.
I actually would like to see them throw the ball to Saquon more, to be honest with you.
Totally.
But I know they're trying not to run him into the ground. I guess my whole thing with anybody, because I get the text messages from my buddies, how come Howie's not doing anything? You know, doing something just to do something is not logical or is not a good process. You know, I know I heard you guys talking earlier about Za'Darius Smith. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, first of all, the Lions have nobody as edge rushers, so they had to get somebody. The Eagles, I mean, Sweat has 5 sacks in the last 4 games. The Eagles have other guys that are playing those snaps. And by the way, Za'Darius Smith was available in free agency. The Eagles chose to pay Bryce Huff a lot more than Smith got from the Browns. So
I don't know.
I mean,
that was the right choice.
Well, no, it might have been the wrong choice, but Huff's a lot younger. The belief is that Huff has more juice, more upside, all those things. I mean, Za'Darius Smith is almost 33 years old, right? So I think that's why the Eagles are not going to do that.
In the here and now, would Za'Darius Smith give us better production than Huff would?
Well, it'd be hard not to.
Right.
You know, Huff has done very, very little, but...
So I'm fine with trading away a couple late-round picks for that.
Well, I will say, John, the Eagles have had bad history in the last couple of years of old guys. I mean, someone
especially at this trade who are deadline, names? The juncture, Golden Tate. What?
Who was Robert cooked when Quinn? They got here? Robert Quinn was cooked. Darius Leonard was cooked.
Shaq Byard.
Shaq Leonard.
Kerrigan was cooked.
Devin White was cooked. Mm-hmm. It's not a trade deadline, but he
Kerrigan,
was cooked.
God, yes.
Kerrigan was cooked. Haloti Ngata. It's going back about 6 years. He was cooked. So, no, look.
I totally forgot the Eagles Haloti got Haloti Ngata.
Well, how about snaps, now, 2 years ago, two guys that were not cooked were Sue and Joseph.
Yeah. They were good.
No, they were good. Mm-hmm. They helped. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. I'm going to play some audio coming up shortly of Dave Dombrowski. Something he said yesterday that when I heard it, I'm like, wait a minute. This is not the same message, at least I don't think it is, that I'm hearing from John Middleton with the public comments in The Athletic. We'll get to that shortly. Joe in New Jersey. Joe, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, lovely ladies, and good morning. And talking about the lovely ladies, John, a week ago or so, you announced your girlfriend. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, I'm very happy for you. But there's like a little confusion that, you know, Devin's name got caught into that, and maybe you were dating her.
What is happening?
I put the odds of that, John, at zero. There wasn't even, I don't know if any.
Wait, when did this happen?
So when John announced that he had a girlfriend, Joe was like, should we hit the breaking news center? And I didn't want to actually hit the real breaking news center.
Oh, yeah.
So I hit the news, and then people were like, oh, Devin? I'm like, no, I just hit the news. Like,
this drop. Hi, this is the news.
It's so like we're the about light to announce breaking news drop.
Like John's girlfriend, and then your voice pops on the air.
Yeah.
So it led to...
I thought we cleared that up right after that.
Well, the thing about our show is we like to perpetuate rumors that aren't true but are funny.
Healthy. Amen. Yeah. Right on, brother.
Joe. Don't let us in what we do in the way.
Joe, so what you're saying is there's just no chance, like there's not a snowball's chance in hell that's possible, and that's what you're telling me?
Now it's getting weird.
John,
okay.
John, there's a
let's keep it rolling. All right.
John, there's a better shot of you going outside and getting struck by lightning.
Oh, by the way, Joe, I don't know if you saw this. Really sad story yesterday. An athlete playing soccer killed by lightning.
God, wow. Where was this?
On the field. It's lightning struck once. Get off the field. The guy and all of them are running off the field. Before he gets off the field, struck by lightning, dies. Ugh. 10 of them got injured.
Oh, my God.
And this guy...
Was this a professional?
Look it up, James. Somewhere international.
Oh, that's awful. Wow.
Guy got struck playing in a professional game and died.
Wow.
My dad had that happen when he was a little boy.
Well, your dad didn't have that happen. He didn't die.
He had the kid who was on the mound.
Looks like it was in Peru.
Oh, yeah.
In Peru.
Say it again, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said the kid on the mound was struck when he was a little kid.
Did he die?
I don't know, and my dad has now passed away. Sure. I think he might have died.
Wow.
Oof.
Wow. Anyway, Joe, okay. So what do you got on the Eagles, my man?
So, Joe, just one other quick thing. Tucker, I've been waiting to get Ross on this show. Joe, if you were eating a sandwich and you were choking and you go, Ross, help me. Ross would say, Joe, now's a fine time to open up a bottle of Black Blue. Crisp and refreshing. I listened to his podcast. Ross, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you interviewed Nasip, one thing I wanted to know and didn't get out in the interview, when he came out, he said he was gay. Did his teammates in college know that he was gay? Did his teammates on the team know he was gay before he came out?
Who's this about?
Brian Nasip. Remember when you interviewed him?
Oh, okay. All right, Ross, you got an answer for that?
I don't remember interviewing that guy. I don't remember what you're talking about. Brian Nasip.
Yeah, Joe, I guess you got Joe, I think you have the wrong story, apparently, so that's fine. Joe, give me an answer here. A scene in a comedy.
Joe, can I make one other quick
point? Well, we got to move. I got a million things to get, Joe. I got a full board of calls.
Huh? Don't give up on Bryce Huff. He's going to make
I've given up on him.
No, he's bad. And the scene in the comedy is Dumb and Dumber, the toilet scene.
All right. You got it.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Wow. All right, so Ross, let's tackle the standings for a second here. And there's probably a lot of people that don't even know where the Eagles fit in. Because, you know, we're not really accustomed to looking at NFL standings that often. You just kind of assess the record of the team and sort of what you think they are as a squad. But let me give everyone where the Eagles are right now at what used to be the halfway point of the year, eight games through the season. So at 6-2, the Eagles currently hold the sixth seed, the second wild card. So obviously Washington at 7-2 is the, you know, current division leader and would be the team with the bye from the NFC East. The Eagles trail Minnesota, who's also 6-2, but Minnesota currently with the tiebreaker. Eagles 6-2, Green Bay 6-3. They're the three wildcard teams. The four division leading teams, and then in order the way they go, Detroit 7-1, Washington 7-2, Atlanta 6-3, Arizona 5-4. Now, Ross, I got to tell you, other than Detroit, who I do think probably is pretty legit, I mean, there's nobody here that really jumps out at me. So obviously that means
they jump out at me for being like, well, hold on a second, well, yeah. Atlanta?
Right.
What?
But Atlanta did beat the Eagles here, for what it's worth. So, Ross, like, how do you assess, again, it's Detroit, Washington, Atlanta, Arizona, Minnesota, the Eagles, and Green Bay. By the way, the Eagles have a two-game lead, and that's before assessing a tiebreaker. I don't know what the Eagles and Bears would be if they were ever tied. As of now, the Bears at 4-4 are the next team. So the Eagles are in a very nice spot for
a
playoff.
Bears have a really hard schedule, too.
And they're not good.
And they're not good. They also have like a legit hard schedule, yeah. And the Eagles don't.
Now, the two teams to be aware of below the Bears, the Rams and 49ers obviously could become legit and start racking up wins, get a little healthier. So, Ross, how do you assess the Eagles in this very odd NFC?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, I think Joe was talking about Carl Nassib.
Yeah, yes. We just had a caller say that. I think so as well. A caller called me off the air.
And I do not believe, Joe, that he had come out when he was in college. I think he just decided to do that before his last year in the NFL. I think that was his question. As for the standings, I mean, the first thing is it's so important to win the division, to get at least one home playoff game, which means 8 days from right now, when the Eagles host the Commanders next Thursday night, that's a huge game. The Commanders believe that the Commanders made the biggest move at the trade deadline. They know that they have a legit team with a star quarterback on a rookie contract. So they traded a third and a fourth to get Marshawn Lattimore at corner from the Saints. So the Commanders are going for it, and they're going for it this year. I think we all agree Detroit is probably the best team. What I would say to you going through the standings, Joe, the Niners are going to be in this thing at the end. I know they got off to a slow start. McCaffrey's coming back this week. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a bye. The leading team in the division right now is the Arizona Cardinals. They're not winning that division. The Niners are going to still win that division. And so they're going to be a tough out. The Niners this year kind of remind me of the Chiefs last year when it's like they're not really playing that great, but they still might be the best team in the conference when it comes down to it in January. Mm. I would still consider the Niners and the Lions to be the two biggest threats to the Eagles right now.
Wow. Okay.
Makes sense. You know, your argument today, because when they win that division, offenses, they become a 3 or 4 seed depending on which spot they are.
Same and, as, and it'll be the same as the Chiefs last year, where like nobody thought the Chiefs were going to go to Buffalo. People don't remember how bad the Chiefs were playing last year.
Yep.
And then they had to go on the road to Buffalo, on the road to Baltimore, and they beat them both.
They did.
They were the underdog against the Ravens. I can't remember. These other teams, I think the Vikings are good. I think the Falcons are good. I think the Commanders are good. I really like the Eagles' chances against them. I think the teams that are at the Eagles' talent level are the Lions and the Niners.
Yeah. Ross, do we have a problem with our bread and butter, the tush push? We failed repeatedly in this last game. Is that a sign of, hey, the rest of the league has caught up and we need to figure out a way to do something different? Or was that just an off day?
Which also can include no Mulata and no Goddard as a pusher.
Well,
and what do you make of all that?
Mulata and Fred Johnson, there's a big difference there. Mulata, they're basically using a rugby technique. Mulata is a rugby player. Like, he knows the technique. Yeah, watch, go back and watch those tush pushes and watch Fred Johnson did the first. I think the second one might have been Driscoll because Fred Johnson got hurt on the touchdown. Remember? Fred Johnson got nailed on the Hurts rushing touchdown. So Driscoll was out there for the second tush push. I love Jack Driscoll. He's not Mulata when it comes to something like that. So I think when they get Mulata back, I think they would still be very successful with it. I'm not willing to give up on it like I felt like they did during the game. Because also, there's a big difference between getting a full yard and getting like inches or half a yard. But yes, I think that they will kind of go back and work on that because obviously it was not as successful. Although on the one, I kind of thought he did get in. I can't remember if it was the first one.
I thought so, too. The ball just needs to break the line, right? Like, as long as the ball touches
the line. As long as the brown touches
the
white at all.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
How could that – well too, again, that was reviewed.
And I'll say this, Joe. They need that play to work. That is a huge competitive advantage. You watch any NFL game, the amount of teams that get stuffed on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, the amount of times the Eagles have converted that the last couple years is ridiculous. If the Eagles cannot get that back, if the tush push is done, that is problematic.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on all this. But by the way, I do want to get to this audio of Dave Dombrowski from yesterday because we had referenced about half an hour ago the really tremendous article in The Athletic by Matt Gelb where he sat down with John Middleton, who, I mean, it really does seem like has some George Steinbrenner in him. I mean, he is like basically demanding that players play better. And, you know, maybe some players will be shipped out. But, you know, one of the things he said in referencing the loss to the Mets in the playoffs, he said, quote, "I think some old dogs need to learn new tricks." And what he's mostly
said.
Yeah, what he's mostly talking about is the approach at the plate from players. But this is a very comprehensive article. It's hard to articulate all the points he made in a quick summation. But it's a lot of points that I think would resonate with many listeners. But then I hear Dombrowski yesterday, and I'm like, wait a minute. Is Dombrowski just saying things to say them, or is he just, Ruben, you pointed out, maybe try to keep up value for players he might trade? Listen to Dombrowski yesterday. He's on the MLB Network. He weighs in yesterday on the Phillies' loss to, you know, quick exit in the playoffs. And here's Dombrowski.
To what do you attribute whatever went wrong in October?
Well, it's, you know, it's tough to win. We really, the first half of the season, we played fantastically. Second half, up and down. We played a little bit better going into the last 10 days of the season. A lot of good players. We were healthy, basically, at that time. So I really, it comes down to many times, as you said earlier, we just didn't play well at the right time. From an offensive perspective, we didn't have a lot of guys swing the bat in the postseason, which can happen when you're facing good pitching. But then we were in a spot which was very unusual for us, that our bullpen during the postseason imploded. And it was really a good bullpen for us all year long. They had shut down at the end of the games. And so for us, we just didn't play well. At times, the year before with Arizona, when we lost, we thought we had a chance to win. We do have hitters that expand the strike zone a little bit, and sometimes you get anxious at that time of the year, and the other clubs take advantage of it. So We have a good club. It's hard to win. You see the Dodgers the last couple of years before this, they got knocked out in the first round, and all of a sudden they're the world champions, and hopefully we can do the same thing.
So here's the thing. I don't think Dombrowski's wrong, and you guys know it resonates with what I've been saying for the last 4 weeks or whatever, but it also doesn't feel on message with what Middleton's saying. I mean, one of the things...
It feels the polar opposite. And then, the last line, like... But Dodgers were in it, and then poof, they signed Shohei Ohtani. Are we not going to like recognize that when we talk about that? They gave the biggest contract in the history of the sport to the best player in the history of sport. A guy went 54-58 for them this year.
Yeah, but
like,
James,
what are we talking about?
Hold on, James. The bigger factor in the Dodgers winning, though, in the postseason, was that other players played better than they had in the past.
And the person they picked up at the trade deadline delivered.
That was a factor, too.
Yeah. The multiple people they picked up. Michael Kopech, Tommy Edman. They have multiple guys they got at the deadline who helped them. Like, so, this is not a parallel, the parallel you guys think it is.
Here's a quote from Middleton in the big story in The Athletic. He says, collectively, we've... Now, he's referring to the hierarchy of the Phillies, ultimately Rob Thompson, Dave Dombrowski. Ultimately, Rob Thompson is the manager. Collectively, we've got to be more forceful in getting players to address their areas of weakness. We've been having conversations in a more forceful way instead of making suggestions. Now, that's a strong... I mean, Ruben,
that's really strong.
That
means that they probably had these exit interviews that a lot of teams have now and basically said, hey, X player, you need to be better at this. Y player, you need to be better at that. And we need to get more out of you. And this is how it just has to be done. And so, and that's okay. That's transparency.
That's good.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure that message, it seems, is being delivered.
I don't know for a fact,
but I think that's exactly probably what they did.
I will say this. While the Dombrowski approach does resonate with me in many ways, or not approach, while the Dombrowski...
Messaging
does resonate with me because I do think there's a uneven element to baseball when you play well and when you don't. I mean, the Yankees, for instance, who got to the World Series, there was a stretch in the summer where they were a disaster.
That happens. But again,
their best player didn't play well.
He didn't play well.
He was terrible.
But here's what I'm also getting at. And Rhea, I know this will resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the owner, in his way, not to the players, but to the manager, would have made this point in August.
He might have. They just might not have listened. It seems like he addressed the team and was aggressive
about
it
because you only get so many cracks at these. And
they
should
have done with the trade deadline. Again, starter was a trade deadline acquisition. The NLCS MVP was a trade deadline acquisition.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is they just wasted a chance. If they didn't dig in on Trey Turner 4 months ago.
Oh, of course.
That's a waste.
Of course.
And that goes...
That's frustrating.
That's player coaching. That's the... The fact that Middleton's saying now, I'm expecting them to be more forceful. Why weren't you forceful before?
That's my point.
Last season, when they said they were going to be more disciplined at the plate.
All right, so look, you can weigh in on the Phils thing. What do you make of the Dombrowski messaging, the Middleton messaging, 215-592-9494? Russ, we know you got to run. Quick final thing. Agree with this statement. If the Eagles beat Dallas, the Cowboys season is basically over.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, look, that they still are probably going to put Dak on IR. It's a fascinating situation because McCarthy knows he needs to try to win, so he's going to play Cooper Rush. They should start to play Trey Lance is what they should do and see what they have in Trey Lance, but they're going to see if Rush can win enough games to keep them in this thing. Sunday's big. I mean, that's the only concern I have for the Eagles is that sometimes there's like a natural letdown when you play against a team that doesn't have their starting quarterback. Yeah. But Rush has won a decent amount of games as a backup quarterback because he's competent. And I think teams look at them playing the Cowboys and they're like, oh, they don't have Dak. We'll be fine.
They also have the Washington coming up on Thursday that they could, I mean, a short week to Washington, a much bigger game, too.
Totally agree. They cannot be caught looking ahead. I mean, the Washington game's not as important if you lose to the Cowboys.
Not as important if you lose to the Cowboys.
No doubt. Yeah,
if
you lose to the Cowboys, then you lose in a division game.
Yeah, it's still a division game. I mean, it's more important than the Cowboys game because the Commanders are in first right now. But if you beat the Commanders, that's great. But if you just lost the Cowboys on Sunday, it kind of offsets itself.
All right, close is Trey Lance to even being a viable option for them, I wonder?
They traded for him. They kept him for a second year now. He was the third pick in the draft, but he can't even beat out Cooper Rush to be the backup. So
that says
he must
a lot,
not be
doesn't
that
it?
Good. But no, but we've never really seen him play. I mean, he only played like two games for the Niners.
Right.
Why even have him if you're not going to play him?
Well, maybe they do in three or 4 weeks. I can understand them trying to still win now with who they think's better. Because you never know when a starting quarterback's going to get injured on a different team, and you can be right on back up the chute quick. All right, Ross, nice work, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
See you, pal. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones. I still need to figure out the fictional character I'd like to have dinner with.
I thought you were just going to blow right past it.
I mean,
I'm happy. You owe the listeners an answer.
It's not Jessica Rabbit. We didn't decide on that. Okay.
So
I feel like Josh Lyman was such like an easy answer just sitting there for you. You talk about him being your favorite character on your favorite show of all time by far, and he's not the obvious choice.
Tell me if this works. Elizabeth Shue from Cocktail.
So you can go in the Jessica Rabbit way. I see you. There we go.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Kenny right now. Kenny, what's going on, buddy?
Woo! Eagles-Dallas week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. It's like Christmas for football fans.
Yeah, you know what's Kenny, you know what's a shame? This year, the real Dallas week, which is always the home game, is Christmas week, when our attention will be very diverted. I'm just giving you a quick side comment. I am so sick of the NFL scheduling that game in the last two or three games of the season when one of the teams is totally out of it.
Yeah.
And if it's Christmas or New Year's week,
people are distracted.
People are very distracted. Joe, I am so sick of that.
The Cowboys are pretty much totally out of
it. Well, if the Eagles beat them, it's done.
They have been pretty much totally out of it going back all the way to this offseason.
And Kenny,
think about the way they operated this offseason where everyone's sitting around like, wait a second.
I know.
Don't they have to start paying people?
Yeah.
Don't they have more than just like two or three people? Really, it was their quarterback and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, and that was it.
How does Jerry Jones not fire himself?
Well, how does Josh Harris not fire himself?
I can't understand why he would allow. But Josh Harris is not making the decisions.
Jerry Jones is making football decisions.
It's a clown show.
Yeah. All right, Kenny, go ahead, pal.
That's all right. You know, lost in all the Nick Sirianni nonsense was the fact that the Eagles game last week had so many incredible jaw-dropping plays. We have a good team, and people need to realize that. And that's what I'm so. We're going to bury Dallas. I have a quick Phillies point.
Sure.
You talk about 1980, Mike Schmidt. He was struggling in August. He stepped away from the plate 6 inches because people kept throwing him inside and jamming him, and then he went on to that, finished off that MVP playoff run. Being the best third baseman ever was not too prideful to make adjustments.
Yeah, that's what the Middleton story is about. Absolutely.
Yes, and that's why I love Middleton, because Middleton's a fan. He's not an owner. He's one of us. Somehow, some way, he's one of us that hit it rich and owned a team. He's not one of these bougie billionaires.
No question.
Josh Harris, who's totally out of it. And every time I see that guy, I want to hug him.
Could you imagine Josh Harris coming to Chickies and Pete's to do a remote broadcast with us?
Hey, you know, Josh Harris versus John Middleton in a cage match.
Well, John wins that easily. He's a former wrestler.
He's in very good shape.
But that would be so awesome to watch if we could somehow sanction this. Man, Middleton, the former wrestler. Can you imagine?
Let's get the billionaires in the steel cage.
I love it. Kenny, give me an answer here.
We could somehow sanction this.
How would one go about that, John?
Kenny, a scene in a comedy.
In Hangover, when the naked guy jumped out of the trunk and started beating on everybody.
You got it, Kenny. Kenny, good call as always, man. 215-592-9494. I think Middleton might beat up all three owners. First off, you don't even know who the Flyers owner is.
Yeah.
So whoever that person is doesn't even show up.
Fight the Comcast building.
Everybody in this room except John Ritchie, probably.
I think Middleton. Middleton would be able to beat me up too. Middleton with the wrestling background.
Yeah.
He can lock you down.
Yeah, no doubt.
And
So Ruben,
humiliate.
Yes. You worked for him for many years. Okay. When did? Help me remember. When was David Montgomery no longer the primary in charge person, and it became
Middleton? I think that came later. Probably 2014, 2015? 13 or 14. Yeah. 14.
All right. So you experienced Middleton as the principal guy when things were like not good.
We had, Pat Gillick was an interim president when David got sick.
Yep.
So I guess it was more Middleton than it was Pat, but really Pat Gillick was the interim press.
Here's what I'm trying to drive at, and I have no idea the answer to this. I'm intrigued, and it's why I'm going to ask you. How much, and I don't mean the irrational part, although, maybe, I don't know. How much George Steinbrenner does John Middleton have in him? Which can be a really good thing or a really bad thing, depending on how it's applied.
I think he's got some, and I didn't work for John for Steinbrenner.
But we know the stories.
But I know that that John Middleton is very intentional about wanting to get the trophy back, and he's also very intentional about being a perennial, World Series winner, not just contender, but a winner. And I think that's really super important to him. And I think there are some models out there. The Dodgers are one of them, where you can put yourself, and Houston was one of them, that where you can put yourself in a position to burn it at both ends. Both have a quality organization as far as prospects are concerned, and development, and also have a great major league team. And it's not an easy balance, but it can be done. And that's what his expectations are.
Now let's get to Steve. He's calling from Cherry Hill. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, all. How you doing? Great show.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I want to ask a question. With this tush-push, John, when is it going to be banned in the league? Because it's definitely what Ross just said. It's a rugby play. It doesn't belong. And I'm a major Eagles fan. If this was Dallas, we wouldn't even think about saying, what? This is a joke. I'm just fed up with this.
I hate it, Steve. Well, I mean, I really like that they get an advantage, but I hate it.
I think we're close to moving past it. I think we saw when we speed optioned out of it that we do have other plays that work off of the
look. John, he's saying, when will the league ban it? Steve, here's my thing. I don't think they're going to.
About it, but Steve, ad nauseum, Steve, this past offseason, and never did.
2 years
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it will eventually just be moved past because defenses will figure out ways. I think the NFL is counting on this to just have a natural. It will be moved past because the way it works in the NFL is defenses will figure it out. Offenses will have to come up with something new.
Steve, here's my thing. John may be right there, but if you have the right personnel, and the Eagles clearly have had that, especially when they had Kelce, plus a great other offensive lineman, plus Hurts, who's as physically tough as any QB you'll see, plus Goddard, who's like a Mark Bavaro strong tight end who can push. It is notable that they've been less effective without Goddard. I will say this. It may stay in. I don't think it should. It is notable that 2 years in a row, when the whole world saw the Eagles' advantage and it was presented to the league like, hey, should you zap it? They didn't.
Yeah.
So maybe it stays, but I think it is like not football. And you can still have a quarterback sneak, but it's just like rules get put into sports. In part for the aesthetic enjoyment of fans. That's part of why you can't stand in the lane in basketball on offense. Now you can't stand in the lane in basketball on defense. There are rules. Hockey, the trap, right? What New Jersey did in the 1990s, that got outlawed. I mean, you don't have to have tight ends and running backs have to be allowed to push a quarterback, and I don't think it should be allowed.
Yeah, I think in the owners' meeting next year or the year after, they're going to ban it. It's rugby. It's a rugby play, and it doesn't belong in the NFL. I can't stand it.
Well, they didn't zap it the last 2 years when the Eagles were even more successful, so that tells me they probably will not get rid of it, but I think they should.
So, Joe, I agree with you. I'm not mad at this trade deadline. I just think we're an average team in a bad league, and our coach, like Junior, hit it right on the nose. He's an idiot, and it's going to catch up to him eventually, so... That's my take on it.
All right, Steve. Steve, give me a scene in a comedy. You can win the tickets to see Boots Ennis this weekend.
I'm going with Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire.
What's the scene?
The scene when they made him into a girl, when him and his gay brother were in there, matchmaker, make me, whatever it's called. I don't know.
So the first moment he becomes Mrs. Doubtfire. That's basically what he just said, right?
There's better answers from that movie.
So what is the best answer for that movie?
I think the funniest part of that movie is the very beginning when he's doing all the voices, when he's working for a cartoon or whatever, and it just shows Robin Williams for like 2 minutes just doing all his stuff, and it's
amazing.
He may have been the most funny person ever.
Certainly.
One of the most talented.
Yeah, oh, most talented is what I was going to say, without a doubt.
Which brings me to this thing. The tush push thing with the Eagles, it concerns me.
What a segue.
You have to have the personnel to do it. And if you don't have the personnel, you don't have Kelce, Mailata, and Goddard in there, then it becomes different. You have to be able to have the technique and the ability to do it. And if you don't have the people to do it, then why would you run it?
I don't think it's like rocket science, though. Like, I don't think it requires fine-tuned athleticism and specific skills.
But
I think it's get lower, fire out harder. It really is. Hit him lower and harder than he hits you. And when it's a backup, it's just harder to fire out and win that battle, I guess.
I just feel like they don't have the right personnel to do it because they've had success doing it with certain guys, and it's pretty obvious that those guys did it better, much better, at a much better rate.
Well, probably. I will say this, though, to be counterbalanced here, it is possible that Jacksonville just figured something out that other teams haven't and had personnel themselves that was just better at stuffing it. I mean, I can't tell you who Jacksonville's defensive tackles are. I don't know who their defensive tackles are.
They have a stout D line, but we have three new offensive linemen, if you include Cam Jurgens. You know, with the injuries and Cam instead of Jason Kelce, you got three new offensive linemen there right out of the five. So, okay, it's very different due to injury. Right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I still just think it's an ugly play. It's a great advantage.
But it's legal, so you run it. And if you're successful, then you run it because it's legal.
But here's my thing about things that are legal. They don't have to be.
Until they stop it. And now they stopped it a couple times. So now I do expect to see other things off of it. And now that you see other things off of it and defenses will try to account for that, maybe it'll be right there, right back up the middle where it started next time we try it.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.